Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And joining us now, one of our favorites. You hear him every Friday on the show. He's our good friend Ryan Fowler from FoxSports.com and also at WhatIfSports.com. Fowler, hope your Friday's going well, my friend. Before we dive into the nuts and the bolts of fantasy baseball 1 week in, because you come on every single Friday and you provide some sensational knowledge for us, I want you to tell me where I can go to find a pretty awesome T-shirt shop with all kinds of Cleveland sports memorabilia.
Yeah, absolutely, and I appreciate the opportunity, Andy. Good to talk to you guys again. You know, it's one of those things where I was texting with my dad who lives in Brunswick, and he's telling me we're getting 5 inches of snow up there right now, and the snow was still coming down. One of our trees actually fell down, so it's not exactly T-shirt weather yet, but all you have to do is wait 72 hours. And it's going to be 72 there on Monday. So if you go to OhioMemories.com, my college roommate and I, who went to Bowling Green State University along with yourself, we booted up a little bit of an apparel shop called OhioMemories.com. We also have a T-shirt company called BowlingGreenMemories.com for those Falcons looking for some apparel this summer. But, yeah, check it out. It's kind of one of those things where you go on. We have on-demand printing. So once you are ready to check out, you can check out with the design that you like best. Super comfortable, super soft apparel, one of a kind designs too, and that's what we're really proud of. Kevin Goldner, my business partner on the T-shirt side, he and I have worked really hard on a lot of these designs. He's the graphic designer and has done some great work, and you can check out some Cleveland baseball, football, basketball, all that good stuff at OhioMemories.com.
We will certainly check that out, OhioMemories.com, because as you said, on Sunday, it's T-shirt weather again with the temperatures in the mid-70s. So we're
just
definitely...
Just wait a few hours.
Yeah, gotta love it.
That's it, man. That's absolutely it. Well, let's dive into the first few days of this fantasy baseball season. I want to start with Yasiel Puig. Three bombs on the young season so far. He's worth discussing because people want to know at this point, is this just a flash in the pan, or do you think that this is something that's going to continue this season with Puig?
That's a loaded question, and I'll answer it in this way. I have been a Yasiel Puig fanatic since he came up in 2013. I drank so much Yasiel Puig Kool-Aid in 2013, I was a little tipsy. So keep that in mind when I tell you what I'm about to tell you. I think he's worthy of a spot on your roster. Do I think he can continue this? Probably not, because of recent instances of the last 2 years. He still has a horrible problem chasing breaking balls out of the zone, and that's been his big bugaboo. That and staying healthy. He's had hamstring injuries. He's gone a little too fast, too much, and then he ends up on that 15-day DL, which is now the 10-day DL. So injuries and a little bit of lack of patience at the plate has hurt him the last 2 years. That being said, he's Bo Jackson. I mean, in a lot of ways, he is Bo Jackson. The build of him, he has five tools on the field, and when it comes to fantasy baseball, you're interested in the power stroke, and he's definitely got that. He's batting down in the order right now, and I think if they can build confidence with Puig in that 7 or 8 slot, it doesn't look as, oh my gosh, I really have to do everything if he's in the 3 or 5 slot, which he's been in the past years. So I think they're going to take it slow with him. I think if they can build back his confidence, he can break out in a big way. I just look at the last 2 years and I say, if he hits 20 home runs and steals 20 bases, that's a win, especially after 3 home runs over the last 2 games. But the 2 homers he hit against Jared Weaver yesterday, they were meatballs. They were right down the plate, and he destroyed the baseball, which he has done in the past too. I just think you have to pump the brakes a little bit and let this kind of play out its course. But I still think he's worthy of a bench spot, especially if you're a deep bench or if you're in an NL-only league.
Right, I know it's just the first week. I don't even think we're through a full week yet. But have there been any surprise players out there that folks may be able to pick up on the waiver wire?
Yeah, you know, I kind of group in the first 5 days of the season into the three Bs, the killer Bs: Byron Buxton, blisters, and bullpens. So let's take it from the top. Byron Buxton, the prospect of the Minnesota Twins, has been struggling greatly through the first week, and this was a concern because he was going to be able to bat in that number 3 slot. Thanks to Paul Molitor, and he struck out 5-plus times already, and his batting average is below 100. So I'm a little concerned about that. If you go to the waiver wire, I think Brandon Drury is a guy I would look at, an Arizona Diamondbacks prospect who gets third base and outfield eligibility. He might be a little bit of a Band-Aid for that Buxton issue right now. the blister issue. Noah Syndergaard of the Mets had to leave his start. We know Kluber left that game. He had a blister. He's supposed to start and be fine. We'll see how he does in his next start. I think that's tomorrow. And then Rich Hill of the Los Angeles Dodgers, probably one of the pitchers that has the longest history with blister issues because of that friction coming off that fingertip. He just hit the 10-day DL, backdated a few days, so he won't be back until April 16th. So that was a big concern where you look at the waiver wire at pitching and you're like, oh, man, if any of these guys have any major injuries, who can I look at? You know what the big name is right now? Bartolo Colon, because that waiver wire is pretty picked over and pretty thin right now. Plus, not every pitcher has made his first start. So when you're looking, Brandon Finnegan had a nice start for the Reds in his first approach, but his spring training numbers weren't great, and he's got the Pirates in his next start. That made me a little nervous because the Pirates are a pretty patient offense. And then the bullpen, Sam Dyson, as we know, got rocked by the Indians in that first series. I would take a look at Jeremy Jeffress and Matt Bush as somebody who could be closing sooner rather than later. Out in Arizona, Fernando Rodney, he has struggled in his first appearance. He looked a little sloppy. So, again, a lot of moving parts in this first week. We'll let the chips fall where they may over the next 48 hours and then have maybe, again, give me 10 days of analysis and we'll have a little bit more to chew on this time next week. But, again, the storylines have already kind of picked up. And I think the biggest surprise in my world outside of Buxton being this bad is Chris Bryant's almost as bad through the first week. And that's when you know sample size is small.
We're talking with Ryan Fowler of Fox Sports about some fantasy baseball. And a guy I want to take a look at here. Tribe, of course, will take on the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight. You retweeted something a little bit earlier about Paul Goldschmidt. And this is unbelievable. I want to throw this out there. 140 home runs and 100 stolen bases. Only four other first basemen in history have accomplished that. Now, I know in the fantasy ranks, he's not underappreciated because I think in the fantasy ranks, we all know that guy every single year, he's going to be a first-round pick as long as he continues to produce the way he has. But do you feel like he might be underappreciated outside the fantasy ranks?
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think he's very similar to Nolan Arenado, who's been the home run leader in the National League the last 2 years. You can even say the same thing about Mike Trout. You know, for all the good things Mike Trout does in the game as far as having all five tools and going out there, he gets lost on the left coast. And I still think it's crazy that this in this day and age where we're overconnected and we have access to highlights and video at the snap of a finger, Mike Trout's aura is below Bryce Harper. And that's not to knock Bryce Harper, but Mike Trout has produced at a higher level than Bryce Harper in MLB terms, in fantasy terms, throughout the course of his career. And I think that's just where baseball has this problem marketing some of their young stars. They're going to get another chance with Corey Seager and Carlos Correa and Frankie Lindor. Lindor's personality, it kind of draws you in, so they might have a little bit better time having Lindor become a face of baseball than they do Trout because Trout's just a little bit more reserved. Harper's out there with the hair and the war paint and barking at umpires. Trout, he is who he is, and I don't think anybody needs to change, but I think that just goes to show you, as it pertains to Paul Goldschmidt, Goldschmidt's more like Trout than he is like Harper, and that's why I think sometimes he gets glossed over, but he's producing stats that guys like Ryan Braun and Trout are producing, yet he's Paul Goldschmidt, first baseman for the Diamondbacks, and I think if the Diamondbacks can get over the hump and make a push in that NL West, that's when you'll start to really hear about him. Because up until this point, I think the guy that leads off for the Diamondbacks, A.J. Pollock, has earned more national recognition than Paul because he goes out there every day and gives it his go. And again, it's just one of those things where fantasy owners, when they're that close to the game, they know what Goldschmidt can do. It's just a matter of baseball promoting their stars a little bit better so you learn about these guys, especially when they're over there in the Pacific time zone.
Yeah, it's fascinating you bring that up, Ryan. I was reading something about Mike Trout last year, and he had finished like sixth or seventh in one of the MVP votes. I can't remember if it was AP or something along those lines, but still had great numbers last year, and it's almost like he's too good for his own good. People sort of forget about him. He's playing a great season, but it's not as great as everyone wants it to be. Is that sort of his problem there?
Yeah, I think it's like one of those things where, what have you done for me lately? Oh, you did what you did last year? Cool, keep doing that. Yeah. And I think Miguel Cabrera's fallen into that too. Miggy's getting up there in age, and he just goes out there every year despite a little bit of injury, a little bit of bumps and bruises that you get the older you get in this league. he goes out there and produces on an everyday basis. I think, you know, Derek Jeter, he's El Capitan there in New York for so many years. He wasn't a great hitter. He wasn't a great offensive thing, but they were able to brand him with New York and being with the same team for so many years. I think that's another reason where some of these guys, for as good as they are, they kind of get glossed over because the personality just isn't loud enough. And I look at it this way, and this is the analogy that I kind of throw out when I get on these type of topics, is if Mike Trout and his skill set was in the NBA, he'd be a global, always-in-your-face Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, James Harden, Kobe. That's what he would be. But because he's a baseball player, I think he gets lost in the shuffle, and it's not the fairest of outcomes for him.
Again, we're talking with Ryan Fowler of Fox Sports. Boy, so many interesting things to dive into with the first week of the season. But now we're going to close this baby out by throwing you a couple of curveballs here. So as you know, on every show, we like to bring up a topic, daily food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, in case you haven't been following this, this actually became a big story because it came from the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Bill English, telling everyone that he puts canned spaghetti on his pizza. Now, do you believe this is a culinary faux pas, or is this something you would try?
Huh. I'm going to give myself 5 seconds to think about that. I don't think it's as weird as maybe some people may find it. I think again, when you look at deep dish pizza in Chicago, that's kind of like a pizza pie. So when you take the spaghetti and you put the spaghetti on the pizza, it wouldn't be my first choice. But I think you're in that marinara, you're in that red sauce category, so it doesn't really kind of blow me away. Plus, again, down here in Cincinnati, and again, growing up in Cleveland and now being in Cincinnati for the last 7 years, you look at Skyline, you look at Gold Star, I mean, it's this chili slash pasta combination that's, I think, a little bit more than spaghetti on top of your pizza. Again, probably not my first choice, but again, it's not like he's eating steak and dipping it in ketchup.
See? I'm telling you, man, it's going to catch on. We talked about this about a half hour or so ago. I think more people might be able to get behind this. I think the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Bill English, is getting a little bit too much heat for this. And again, I'm with you. It wouldn't be my first choice, but I don't think it would scare me away. The pictures I see aren't enough to make me say, yuck, no way.
Can I just ask one quick question? It seems a little bit... I mean, pizza is a pretty clean eat. I mean, you get a little sauce in the corner of your mouth, but when you're adding that layer of pasta and the sauce, it just seems like it gets a little bit sloppier and a little bit more effort. Again, depending on maybe if you roll it up like a New York slice of pizza where you do the fold. I don't know. It just seems like, man, you have pizza. It's nice and portable. It's one hand. You eat it, maybe a little sauce on the face, but then you add a layer of pasta and sauce. That just seems like a lot of extra work.
Too. I agree.
That's why you throw a ton of cheese on top of it. You melt it, and it all sticks together.
Well, see, now you're changing. That's almost like what they did in my elementary school and high school with the canned spaghetti. I swear how they got us kids to eat it. But I don't know. It just doesn't do it. Like you said, Ryan, I think it just creates more of a mess on top of the pizza that doesn't need to be there. I'm staying away from that.
Yeah, and then you're probably bringing forks into the equation to scoop up the remnants. I'm not using a fork on my pizza.
Me neither.
Hey, sometimes the sloppier can be a little bit better. Fowler, it's always a pleasure to have you on, my friend. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right, take care, guys.
All righty, that's Ryan Fowler of Fox Sports giving us the rundown on pizza on his, or I should say spaghetti on his pizza, in addition to all of his fantasy advice as well. Check out his website, ohiomemories.com.